in a world that gets more mysterious every day, where government conspiracies and cover-ups are the norm, you need a beacon of truth. You need the Paranormal Patriot. Welcome to everybody here listening to the Paranormal Patriot. I thank you for listening and tuning in to my little broadcast. This is your host, always wearing the tinfoil hat. My name is Tom Velasquez. Again, thank you for joining me. You know, I was going through some older shows, and I mean probably 3 years old, and I'd listen to them, and I don't know how you guys listened to the show back then, but you did, and I appreciate it. But literally, I would begin the show, "Welcome to Mysteries of Michigan. This is Tom Velasquez. Thank you for joining me." I mean, I was listening going, this guy's going to put me to sleep, and it's me. So I'm trying to be a little bit more upbeat as I bring in the show. So the show for this week is going to be a political-themed show. We're going to talk about a little bit of terrorism that hit home to me this week. We're going to talk about the left continuing the rhetoric of hate. We'll have another Ask the Paranormal Patriot segment. And if I have time, remember I'm trying to keep these things shorter, more condensed. If I have time, I want to talk to you briefly about Syria. But before we begin the show, I just want you to sit back. I want you to relax. I want you to open your mind to common sense, because that's what we're going to be talking about today. Common sense or lack thereof. And see if we can just instill some common sense into some of these liberals that listen to this show. So sit back, relax, open that mind. You are listening to the Paranormal Patriot. This is Tom Velasquez, and we will be right back. So as I continue to follow the tale of the Chicago Batman, I'm noticing less and less sightings in the Chicago area. I'm thinking it may have moved. It may have moved north into the Wisconsin area. More on that on a different show. But regardless, again, we have a Bigfoot research group in southern Michigan that you need to contact if you've ever seen anything you cannot explain. If you've seen Bigfoot or think you've seen Bigfoot, or any type of cryptid you have no idea what it was, contact the Southern Michigan Bigfoot Research Group at sm_bfrg@hotmail.com. The Southern Michigan Bigfoot Research Group is a group of enthusiasts who want to get to the bottom of the cryptid Bigfoot mystery. They are devoted, they are professional, and they are dedicated. So if you've ever seen anything you cannot explain, please do yourself a favor and contact the Southern Michigan Bigfoot Research Group. Again, the way to contact them is sm_bfrg@hotmail.com. Well, apparently I need to clarify something here. Apparently in the intro to this show, I misspoke. It has been brought to my attention that when I mentioned terror, I said terror hits home. And I should have said terror hits close to home to the Paranormal Patriot. So I do apologize on that. I try to get all the facts correct. Trust me, I will misspeak about 50 other times on this episode. Bear with me. But what do I mean by terror hits close to home? Exactly what it says. Terror hits close to home to those of us who are living in Michigan. Terror has hit Flint, Michigan at Bishop Airport. Now, when I say close to home, Bishop Airport to me is about 25 minutes away. It's a 25-minute drive. So this one really kind of shook us up. because this isn't like 9/11 New York. This isn't like Orlando Pulse. This isn't San Bernardino. This is a 25-minute drive from where we are. I can get there in less than a half hour. But what happened? For those of you who don't know, Officer Jeff Neville was on duty at Flint Bishop Airport, and he was stabbed in the back and given a 12-inch slice wound along his neck that was millimeters. The doctor said literal millimeters away from slicing open a major artery. This officer, who is recovering, thank God, was millimeters away from death. 50-year-old Canadian citizen Amor Fatari, and I probably just slaughtered that name, Amor Fatari, was born in Tunisia. He approached Officer Neville and shouted, "Allahu Akbar," before stabbing him in the back and again slicing a 12-inch gash in the officer's throat. Now, before being taken down by other officers that were in the vicinity, he was said to have been shouting, "You have killed people in Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan, and we are going to all die." While he was subdued and while he was being led away, he was said to have asked, "Why didn't you kill me?" Well, buddy, no virgins for you. You get to sit in an American jail, which to some people is a luxury, and probably for you. Now, this perpetrator was a 10-year resident of Montreal. Again, he came here, or came to Canada, Montreal, Canada, via Tunisia. He came to this country legally via Lake Champlain, New York, and for reasons unknown, continued to Flint. Now, unconfirmed reports state that sometime between June 18th and June 21st, he tried to unsuccessfully purchase a gun while in Michigan. Now, Eric E.V., all your other liberals, I want to mention something about what I just said. I stipulated that last statement with unconfirmed reports. I didn't state it as true as anonymous sources or high-level officials. I'm stating unconfirmed reports. So anybody with a thinking mind will realize this may or may not be the case. But there are unconfirmed reports that state that sometime between June 18th and June 21st, he tried to unsuccessfully purchase a firearm while here in Michigan. So thanks to the gun laws that are on the books, laws that the left say don't work, that are useless and do not stop gun violence, he was denied a firearm, and a further massacre was averted. But the media, the left, are not going to talk about that because that goes against their hate-filled agenda. But now we must deal with the elephant in the room. And a lot of people, there's not a lot of people talking about this, and I can't understand why. For those of my listeners who live in the northern section of this country, this is a big deal. And I guess it can affect everybody because God knows it's easy to travel throughout this country. But as it stands, the northern border between the U.S. and Canada is right now the largest unguarded border in the world. The problem is that due to the vast amount of border between the two countries, it is essentially impossible to protect this border. We do not have the material, we do not have the money, nor do we have the manpower to keep tabs on who is crossing the border along the hundreds of miles of unguarded border. If you have ever been up north along the United States-Canadian border, you will know that there are areas that are completely desolate. So all you have to do, if you want to cross into America illegally, go to Canada, go to one of these desolate places, and just walk on in. Here in Michigan, we have Sarnia, which has the bridge. We have the Detroit Bridge, the tunnel to Canada. That is guarded. But there are hundreds of areas, thousands of areas along the borders out west that are just they can't be guarded. There's not enough people. There's not enough material. We can't build a wall. With the policies that Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, and let's be honest, he is Canada's version of Hillary Clinton. With his policies, this problem is only going to get worse. Trudeau is an alt-left liberal who is in favor of increasing the amount of refugees into Canada. Now, up until now, this has been a non-issue. We haven't had to worry about terrorists coming over from Canada because we've had pretty much a joint agreement to keep an eye on it, to help each other out. Well, the problem is Justin Trudeau is such a leftist. He hates Trump. He's such a leftist. He thinks what we're doing on the refugee crisis is completely wrong. So he's not willing to help. He's saying, bring him here. If the U.S. doesn't want him, bring him here. We'll take him. So all these terrorists that had plans of immigrating or relocating to the United States via the refugee program that are not able to do so, they go to Canada. They find a spot that is unguarded, walk right in. They're now in our country. So this problem is only going to get worse. My worry is that these professional terrorists, for lack of a better word, will see this as an ample opportunity that they may have not taken advantage of prior to that. Look at this guy. This guy got in here legally. He went through legal change, the legal process to get in here. He flew into New York, probably rented a car and drove to Flint, Michigan. I have no idea why this guy chose Flint, Michigan to stab an officer. What do we do then? What do we do now that we know our border, our northern border, is porous? It's not guarded. And it will let anybody who has any thoughts of ill will, they have free rein in here. What can we do? Well, the answer is nothing. Again, there's nothing we can do unless they go through the checkpoints. There's nothing we can do. And I doubt they're going to go through the checkpoints. The only thing we can do is be diligent. We need to turn away political correctness. If something doesn't look right, you have to say something. If you have a neighbor that, and he doesn't have to be of Arab descent. If you have a neighbor that, let's say he just moved in, he's running the house, he's got strange people coming in and out all the time, he just acts funny, report it. That is what's going to save this country. The northern border just cannot be defended. They will, if they haven't already, found a way to get in. Again, during this whole process, we're not going to receive any help from the media. We're not going to get any help from the left or the media how to solve this issue. As of the recording of this show, CNN and their articles and their broadcast still refer to the terrorist as the alleged assailant. Now, the rest of the articles state that he is suspected of committing this crime. Are you kidding me? Why all the political correctness? He was seen doing the act. He admitted to it. Can we not call him what he is? Can we not call him guilty? Can we not call him a terrorist? Because that's what he is. They're charging him with violent act at an airport. First off, I didn't even know there was such a crime. But secondly, why are we not charging him with terrorism? He is a terrorist. Well, Tom, that's pretty racist. Just because he screamed Allah Akbar doesn't mean he's a terrorist. What is it then? What other definition could it be? Well, he may have had a grudge against the police. Okay? It's a hate crime. It's a terrorist. He's a terrorist. Yes, he's Arab. I'm sorry. I'm going to be politically incorrect here. He's Arab. He screamed Allahu Akbar. And he tried to kill somebody. Put all those together and what do you get? You get a terrorist. It's not that hard. Political correctness is going to be the death of this country. The media, I know what they're doing. A lot of people say, well, they're just trying to be safe. They're trying not to ruffle any feathers. No, they're not. The media is trying to protect the Muslim religion from backlash. Have we heard from CARE, the Council of American Islamic Relations? Have we heard from them condemning this attack? I didn't. I've been looking. Yes, there are some clerics, a lot of them in the Flint, Michigan area, that have condemned this attack, and I commend them. But you don't hear from CARE. The reason for it is CARE should be labeled a terrorist organization. But nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody wants, because that's not politically correct. That's not the right thing to say, Tom. I'm done being politically correct. This incident, 25 minutes from my home, really shook me up. It really, and I apologize, maybe the other incidents should have shaken me up more. But this one really hit close to home. To the point that I'm going to say what needs to be said. We have an issue in this country. The issue is we are so worried about offending the Muslim culture, the Muslim religion, that we let them get away with murder. Literally get away with murder. If we have known terrorists, Islamic terrorists, commit crimes, we just wipe that under the rug. An alleged attacker, the suspected assailant. It is what it is. We saw him. People saw him commit the crime. He admitted to the crime. Call it out for what it is. Until we start realizing that this will be the death of us. We are letting these cultures, this culture predominantly, come in and take over because we're too afraid of offending them. No, it's not. That's not how it works. Here in Michigan, Dearborn, Michigan, that's Little Arabia. I mean, if you go to Dearborn, Michigan, you are essentially going to the Middle East. They have a city council that is implementing Sharia law for the city of Dearborn. As an American, that should scare the living daylights out of you. Muslims know, hey, we can go to America. We can do what we want. We can keep our culture, and we can change American culture and have a more prosperous new Middle East, essentially, because this is the new Middle East. This is fast becoming the new Middle East because people realize these Western societies, how they hate us so. They claim they want to wipe us off the face of the earth, but they have no problem coming here. They have no problem bringing their family, enrolling their children in school, taking our tax dollars. They have no problem doing that because life in America is good. It's much better than where they were. The problem is they don't adjust to the American culture. They want us to adjust to theirs. Case in point, Dearborn, Michigan. America was not founded on Sharia law. If you want Sharia law, go back to the Middle East. We do not want Sharia law. But yet, the politicians turning a blind eye to it because, well, I don't want to offend anybody. It's time we start offending people. When you offend people, people stop what they're doing. They stop. They get mad. You have a debate. It's done. If you're listening to this show and you're afraid of offending people, stop. Do what you have to do. this incident in Flint, in my opinion, is going to be, well, I fear it's going to be one of many. You guys listening to this show, you need to be vigilant, you need to be prepared, but most importantly, be safe. The West, which we are essentially the Western Satan, has a big target on it. They are changing their tactics. And it's scary. Because any one of us could be a victim of terrorism at any second of the day. I hate being in public spaces now. I just do. Because you never know. We live in America. We shouldn't feel that way. You are listening to the Paranormal Patriot. We will be right back. The word is starting to spread now. PRISM, the Paranormal Research and Investigative Society, is your place to go, to visit, to contact if you have any paranormal experience you cannot explain. Contact PRISM. PRISM will get you in contact with a local, trusted, respected paranormal research group in your area. It is free of charge. There is no obligation. All you have to do is contact PRISM at theparanormalpatriot@zoho.com or visit PRISM at the Paranormal Research and Investigative Society of Michigan on Facebook. PRISM should be your contact for anything paranormal. So the hate speech continues from the left in the media. Now you would think that after the Stephen Scalise shooting, that they may want to tone it down. They may want to just kind of skirt right by the hate speech, the violence, the let's shoot these people speech. Well, you would think, but that's what we get for thinking, because that is not what they're doing. In fact, they're ramping up their efforts. Now, I mentioned last week that Nancy Pelosi condemning the Republicans for implying that the left and the media was in some way responsible for the shooting. I don't know why we'd think that. All they do is spew out hate speech, spew out how horrible these Republicans are. Liberals, listen, I'm going to go off a little bit here. I've said before, liberalism is a mental disease, and I believe that. If you look at your liberals, a lot of them, we'll say the majority of them, are young college kids. What you normally find is as these college kids grow older, their views begin to change because now they've been in the world. Now they work for a living. They have a family. They see how the real world works. The real world wasn't what their college professor told them. The real world is a harsh place where nothing is given to you. It's these older liberals that I can't figure out. How you could be in your 30s, your 40s and beyond, and still think that everything should be handed to you, that everybody should get a fair share of the pie, is beyond me. At that age in your life, you should know that is a great sentiment. I would love it if it was true. I would love it if it worked. But it just isn't feasible. These are the people that are going around spewing out the majority of the hate speech. These are the people that honestly, and I, again, no political correctness here. If you are a liberal above 30 years of age who works, has a family, and knows the way that the world works, and you still think the way that you do, you need to get your head checked. You need to be admitted into a mental institution because you don't have a firm grasp of reality. You can sit here and you can say, everybody deserves a fair shake, and you're absolutely right. But the difference between the way most matured reality thinking adults and you are and you think is these people that deserve a fair shake, they have to earn it. They have to at least work for it. They can't just be given that fair shake on the backs of those that are actually working. But these people, they don't understand that. I will let the high schoolers, the college students, I'll let that slide. And after a couple years after you graduate from college, I'll let it slide because you've been indoctrinated your whole life. It's been instilled in you how the world should be and that anybody that has a different opinion than you is wrong. I'll let that go. But once you get out into the real world where you don't get a participation trophy, where you don't get the job just for showing up for the interview. Once you realize how the real world works, I would expect your viewpoint to change. And if it doesn't, then we need to look at some psychiatric or mental evaluations because the world doesn't work like this. Again, it would be great if it did, but it doesn't. So back to my topic. We have the left. We have the media still spewing out hate speech after Stephen Scalise was essentially, it was an attempted assassination. It was an assassination attempt. You could say he was shot, but let's call it for what it is. He is a high-ranking government official. He was targeted for assassination. That might bring the point home because assassination is a much stronger word than the left in the media are using. He was shot. Well, go to Chicago. People are shot every day. Not everybody is assassinated. And this man was targeted for assassination. You would think they'd stop. They don't. I've got a couple examples here. MSNBC host Joy Reid stated that essentially Stephen Scalise deserved to be shot by saying that, well, his past comes into question. He was known to have visited a white supremacist rally. He claims that he didn't know what it was. He is against gay marriage. He's against gun control, and he's against health care. So Joy Reid, who is black, let's throw that out there, she is black, is calling him a racist on claims that were debunked years ago. He did not attend this rally. He did not say that he didn't know what it was. That's a fabricated story there. He never attended. So you're saying because his viewpoints are against yours, he is against gay marriage. You're for gay marriage. He's against gun control, you're for gun control. He's against government-mandated health care, you're for government-mandated health care. He deserves to be shot? What kind of country are we living in now? This is scary. Because right now, Joy Reid, still on the air. People still watch her. And I bet you there were a lot of people that listened to what she said and said, yep, you're right. Maybe I should go after my representative because he doesn't believe what I believe. So now, according to Joy Reid, if you do not believe, or if this some politician does not believe what you believe, you have every right to shoot them. You can slander their name. You can call them a racist. You can shoot them. This is scary. because there's no repercussions coming to Joy Reid. Yeah, there's articles written about her. Oh, whoop-de-doo. That's, now people know who Joy Reid is. I never knew who Joy Reid was. I try to avoid MSNBC like the plague. Now, if I see her on there, oh, there's the bitch that said, hey, let's shoot this guy. He had it coming. The problem is, this is the majority of the left's thinking. You don't agree with us. You shouldn't be alive. You have to pay for your belief system because it's not what I believe. As I told Eric EV last week, it's okay. It is okay to have somebody disagree with what you believe in. You'll still live. You'll still survive. Every day will be the same. You'll still get up. You'll still go to work if you're working. And you'll come home. And you'll be angry. Just because that person disagrees with you does not give you the right to call for their execution. Where is the outrage against Joy Reid? I mean, honestly, where's the outrage from the right against Joy Reid? Tucker Carlson mentioned something about it. Fox News? Yeah, sure. But where is the outrage? Why? Look, Imus, remember Don Imus? I don't even remember what he was. MSNBC before they were completely liberal. He made a comment. It was a very vulgar, very racist comment. He was thrown right out. I don't even think he's working anywhere. Maybe a local radio station. Sean Hannity had lies perpetrated against him. Rush Limbaugh, lies perpetrated against him. They try to silence the right by making lies. Or if somebody says something that is inappropriate, that's it. He's done. But the left can get away with essentially attempted murder. And trust me, one of these days it's going to be murder. Where does it end? Because now you have Johnny Depp publicly asking for the president to be assassinated. Johnny Depp thinking he was funny. Look, I'd like the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. He did a phenomenal job in that. But here's the thing. You're an actor, Johnny Depp. Stick to acting. You're not a politician. People don't come to see you to hear your political views. They hear you, or they come to see you to listen to you talk like Jack Sparrow. So do that. Get paid and go home. He took it upon himself to ridicule the president, and then ask, when's the last time an actor assassinated the president? In direct reference to John Wilkes Booth assassinating Abraham Lincoln. Sure, there's a couple stories out there. There's nothing on any of the mainstream media sites about this. My first question is, didn't or doesn't Johnny Depp live in France? And if he doesn't, well, honestly, he needs to go back if he's so upset. And the same can be said about any celebrity. They can afford to move out of this country if they are so upset that Donald Trump is our president. They're so upset about what the Republicans are doing to this country. You have money falling out of your pockets. You have money hand over fist. Leave. Leave. And then you can do what you want. But you cannot go and publicly ask for the assassination of our sitting president. It's against the law. Again, I ask, when does it stop? When will these people be held accountable for what they say? My worry is, will it take Trump to be assassinated for the Secret Service to crack down? Because right now, they're going to pay Johnny Depp a visit. They paid Madonna a visit. They paid Kathy Griffin a visit. And they're just going to tell him, hey, don't say those mean things or do those mean things. This is our president. And then let him go. However, you or I, anybody listening to this show, if I were to come on to this show and start asking and begging for the assassination of the president. And anybody listening on the Secret Service, I just did not do that. I'm just rhetorically stating if I were to ask for the assassination of President Trump, not only would I receive a visit, I would probably be detained and possibly imprisoned. You can't do it. It doesn't matter if you're a listener of the Paranormal Patriot, the Paranormal Patriot, or Jack Sparrow. You can't do it. I don't know why people let these celebrities get away with what they do. I understand they're good at their craft. I enjoy movies. I really do. There are a lot of movies I have not seen due to what the people who star in those movies have said. And it's a shame because I don't know if I'm going to go see the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie. Why should I support this guy if he's a freaking idiot? You did not see the Republicans or the Republican followers doing this during Barack Obama's. Yes, you had some fringe people out there. And you can sit there and you can listen to the media say, well, President Obama got multiple death threats a day. Sure, I'm sure he did. But you didn't have the media out there condoning the shooting of a Democratic congressperson. You didn't have celebrities out there openly asking for the assassination of the president. It just didn't happen. Because we are living in a place called reality. It's a nice place to be. We could use a lot more people. There's a lot of room here. But there's a lot of people who live in their own reality. And that reality is skewed. Those people are liberals. And again, you can tell me what you want. Democrats are no different than Republicans. But we are. We see things in a different light. We realize how things actually work. And it doesn't work. It can't work like you think it can. Communism and socialism, in theory, on paper, looks great. It doesn't work. Give me one country where it works. Look at Russia. How'd their communism work out? Look at Venezuela. They're a nightmare. They're a mess. Look at Greece. It doesn't work. Everywhere it is tried, it fails. The only people that it benefits are the politicians. I don't know. I don't know when it's going to stop. I don't know what to do. But anyway, let's move on. I have a question from guess who? It's Andy. Yes, Andy comes through again with a relevant, timely question. Andy asks, well, we're going to talk about Illinois. First off, he says, Illinois is so broke they're going to stop paying for road work. He asks, do you think we, as in the taxpayers, are going to bail them out? Should we bail out Illinois? What would happen if we don't? And then he adds, and I agree with his sentiment 100%, he asks that we please pray for the 7 sailors that lost their lives on that destroyer. And I agree 100%. So, right now, in case you didn't know, Illinois is essentially broke. They missed a deadline for their Medicaid talks. The new financial year begins July 1st. Right now, Illinois owes Medicaid $2 billion for care provided to more than 3 million people. Now, that is compared to the state's total unpaid bill of $15 billion, or 40% of Illinois' operating budget. Now, the failed to pass a spending bill for two straight fiscal years, and the state has been functioning on appropriations since 2015. So Illinois is in a world of hurt. Surprise, a predominantly democratically run state is in financial ruin? I would have never thought that. We witnessed that for 8 years under Jennifer Granholm in Michigan. We are now rebounding under Rick Schneider. I'm not a big fan of Rick Schneider, but he has brought back the economy. You look at any democratically run state and they will be in financial straits. It just is. It doesn't work. The problem is the whole state is corrupt. They have little village managers that are making more than mayors, than state representatives, or the governor, or mayors. We all know about Chicago. That's a lost cause. But to answer Andy's question, do I think we should bail them out? Absolutely not. The state of Illinois has made their bed. They need to lie in it. I am not about to pay for a state that knows better. They can see what is going on. They knew for a long time that they were in financial problems. They were in financial straits. But yet they continued to do business as normal. Not my problem. Not going to pay for them. Nor should I think the federal government should pay for them. I'm not convinced Trump will pay for them. You will have bills passed. You will have riders added to that bill. But Trump, I don't think, would be for it. I think Trump is, look, he's a businessman. You screwed up, guys. Deal with it. File for bankruptcy. Start over. Illinois is a mess. If you're a listener in Illinois, I am going to give you some advice that I know personally. Elect a Republican. Elect a financially conservative Republican. Simple. Michigan, we were a mess. Our taxes were through the roof. Businesses were leaving left and right. You couldn't find a street sweeping job in Michigan. Jennifer Granholm's term ended, and lo and behold, we elect the nerd, Rick Schneider, who was a businessman. He had no political background, but he promised to rebuild this economy in Michigan, and by God, he did. Granted, there's been some of his other actions I haven't agreed with, but we didn't elect him for that. We elected him to rebuild Michigan, to rebuild the industry in Michigan, and by God, he did it. He's brought back jobs. He's cut taxes, not only for businesses, but for individuals. I keep more of my dollars from the state than I have under Jennifer Granholm. You can't tax and spend your way to prosperity, Democrats. It doesn't work. Listen to what I'm telling you. I'm an old, wise man. I study this stuff. I've studied it for years. I was in high school studying the schematics of what socialism does, what dropping taxes does. You can sit here and listen to the media tell you, dropping taxes will not fix the problem. You have to give the government more money so the government can help you. Tell me something the government has done that's ever worked, that's ever been financially sound. There's nothing. The government doesn't know how to control its spending. It doesn't know how to balance anything. Get the government out of there. You want to fix Illinois? Get the government out. Say, we're taking over. The people need to take over. You need to elect somebody in there that will be financially sound, that will eliminate debt. It's as simple as that. And the only way to do that is to hire a Republican, a financially sound conservative. So should we bail it out? Nope. Are we going to bail it out? I don't think so. I hope not. What will happen if we don't? They're going to file bankruptcy, and it's just like GM. I worked for GM through the bankruptcy. It was business as usual. Do I agree with bailing out GM? Absolutely not. I was the outcast where I was because I kept saying, no, let them fail. Let them file for bankruptcy. They made their bed. Let them lie in it. But nope. The taxpayers paid billions and billions of dollars to GM, and what have we received from it? Absolutely nothing. Hell, I'd like a new car out of it at least. $40 billion, I think it was. I could at least get a new car out of that. Everybody listening should get a new car from GM. But we got nothing out of it. GM is much more sound now, thank God, because I wouldn't have a job at the moment. But I was against it. If you have a problem, you fix it. If you don't fix it, if you continue to do business as normal and you have to file bankruptcy, that's on you. Simple as that. So, Andy, that is the answer to your question. Again, a very, very good question. Thank you so much. I do want to let you know, Andrew from England, he has contacted me last week. I implored him, hey, I lost your email address. If you're listening, please contact me. He did. Woohoo! I've saved your email address. It's saved, locked, it's not going anywhere. Thank you, Andrew. But he is chomping at the bit. He is out of country right now, so he will probably get with me hopefully in the next couple weeks and give us his take, his unique take on the British election. So I cannot wait for that. Richard Knox, I did receive your show idea. Phenomenal show idea. That will be in the works. I will be studying that and giving you some info on that. And lastly, I'm not going to talk about Syria. I don't have enough time, but I want to tell you before I end the show, I want to remind everybody, stop listening to the polls. Stop. I had so many people from Georgia telling me, oh my God, the Republicans are going to lose this seat from District 6. Stop listening to the polls. The Georgia election is a prime example. The Democrat was ahead by 7 points over Haley on the day of the election. She won by 6 points. That means the polls were off 13%. Does everybody remember the 2016 presidential election where Hillary was up by sometimes 6-7 points? Polls are there specifically to manipulate your thought pattern. That's all they're there for. There's a few good ones out there. Now, I'm sure that you've heard about Trump's 34% approval ratings, which is supposedly the lowest of any president this far into his term. CNN, MSNBC, they're all over this. Well, Rasmussen, who was the most accurate polling source during this last presidential election, they just came out with a poll. That poll has him at 54%, a 20% swing. Rasmussen. Now, again, it's a poll. It is what it is. I don't take any stock into polls, but this just proves to you how ludicrous polling is. You have polls out there stating that he has a 34% approval rating. Rasmussen has it out there at 54%. It's all in how they ask the question. Do you like the president? Nope. Are you happy with the job so far? Absolutely. They're going to take, do you like the president? 34% like the president. Where Rasmussen may take 54% are happy with his job performance so far. It's all manipulated, people. Do not believe the polls. Again, the Democrat in Georgia was up by 7 points on the day of the election. The election was over. It's shades of 2016. Why are we even having this election? There's no reason to have this election. Hillary Clinton's going to win. What? Hillary Clinton lost? Stop believing polls. All right, I'm over time again. I'm going to try and get it under 50 minutes. So thank you for listening to this week's show. Please share, mention, retweet, comment, do whatever you need to do to promote the show. I appreciate it. Everything you do, I appreciate. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. This has been your host, Tom Velasquez, wearing the tinfoil hat. We will talk to you next week. The Paranormal Patriot is out.